Okay, so buying your first suit, what do you get? Your first suit, like I said earlier, should be a dark navy blue suit. Why? Because they can be dressed up, they can be dressed down, they can be made formal, they can be made casual. And when you separate them, say wear the jacket or wear the pants separate, they're very strong on their own. So it's very important to start, if you don't own a suit, with a dark navy suit. So what type of material should you get for your navy suit? So a hop sack is a great entry level material. It's kind of a multi-season, it's good to go, and you'll look phenomenal in it. And as you look into the actual design of the suit, you wanna have, if you're a bigger guy, broad shoulders. All my shoulders are kind of a soft shoulder. You know, if you're a skinnier, thinner guy, you wanna get like a roped shoulder that will help your shoulder be a little bit more pronounced. And then as far as the other elements of the jacket, you wanna do, I have a peaked lapel on this, but you wanna do a notched lapel, you wanna do a single breast, you wanna do a double vent, and then, of course, I would prefer to have a jetted pocket because it's a little bit more formal. If you wanna do the flaps, like I was saying, this is flap, and you can make it a little bit more casual. So those are the types of things that I would look for in my very first suit, and you're gonna look phenomenal in it. Also, when you're making your first suit, make sure you keep it classy and classic. You don't need to be flamboyant and wild. Suit lovers, they get into some of that stuff, but most of the time it doesn't look great. So keep it very, very classic. A typical suiting color that's more classic for men is blue, gray, brown, and black. Those are your most classic color palettes for men's suiting. Okay, so we're gonna get into how many suits you need. Well, if you never wear suits or you don't own a suit and you just need one to, say, maybe go to weddings or funerals, and that's all you wear a suit for, or maybe a job interview, again, we're gonna go with that navy suit. That is the most important, because that navy suit that I described earlier can play very well at a wedding, very well at a job interview, or at a funeral, and it's a workhorse. It's the way to go. And again, you can dress that guy up or down. So if you never wear a suit and you just have one suit, again, it's gonna be that navy suit. Now, if you're an occasional suit wearer where you have, you're gonna need probably three suits. You're gonna need the navy blue suit, you're gonna get maybe a khaki or linen blend suit for summer like I have, and then a mid-gray wool suit, preferably three-piece for the winter. That's typically how that stuff works out. Again, all those suits should really be done single breast, notched lapel. Again, I have peak lapels, is a little bit more formal. You can do jetted flap pockets or flap pockets. So jetted is just, as we see here, nice and formal, but you can do a flap pocket as well. Specifically, most made to measure is gonna do this for you regardless. And you really don't wanna do a patch pocket unless you're getting into a blazer or sport coat. So, and that's not really in the suit world, so we'll get into that later. If you need work suits, you're probably gonna have five work suits. You're gonna have three with a multi-season wool. You're gonna have one that's a cotton or linen suit, preferably in like a light brown or a khaki. And then for the fall, you probably wanna do a light gray or a mid-gray flannel suit for the fall. And those would be for your occasional suit wearer. Now, for people that are a suit lover, sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want. You're gonna have multiple grades of suits, multiple grades of materials for every season, different styles, different accents for each suit. You're gonna know which suit fits your event that you're wearing it to, what you're trying to say. You get into personal style here. So sky's the limit. And when you're a suit lover, you don't even need this video. You just go and do your thing. How do we wear our suit jackets? Very important. We, on a single-breasted two-button, always button the top button when we're standing up walking around. The bottom button is always undone. And when you're sitting down, you're going to unbutton that. You can do the flaps out. if you choose to have this option, or flaps in. I prefer to have flaps in. It's a little cleaner, more elegant look. But if I was going to make this suit jacket a more casual look, I would pop those flaps out, break the lines up, make it a little bit more casual and relaxed. Very, very important to wear your suit jacket with these different configurations depending on what type of event you're going to. Again, our working cuff, we're going to leave this button undone. If we have a waistcoat, like I had showed earlier in the gray suit, when we wear our waistcoat, the bottom button is always undone. So those are some tips on how to wear your suit jacket properly. Of course, you can't forget a pocket square. So if you have a 2.5 button where the button's hidden under the roll, technically you would have 3 buttons. You would still only button the center. Now, if you're cold, you can button the top one as well. But typically that's not done. You would just button the middle of the 3. It's called 2.5 because you can see 2 buttons, but you can't see the 3rd button. But there is kind of half of a peak of where the 3rd button would button right here. Now, if you have a double-breasted suit, so buttons down here, you're going to have an internal anchor button. You're going to do that button first, pull the flap over, and then button the 2nd button right here. And after that 2nd button is buttoned, if you're cold or if you need to, it's acceptable to button the bottom button on a double-breasted as well. Things not to do. If you're wearing a waistcoat or a vest, you do not wear a tie bar with it. The waistcoat and the tie bar do the same thing. It's to hold the tie in place. So if you're wearing a waistcoat, no tie bar. Also, remember, the sleeve unbuttoned. And then when you get your suit from the tailor, if they don't, and sometimes they forget, they'll have a label sewn on the sleeve here. That needs to be removed. Also, there's stay stitching in the pockets where the pockets are sewn shut from the manufacturer to keep the suit in shape and keep it from being crumpled or wrinkled, or it's a shipping thing. So those are gonna need to be opened up. They're actually stitched shut, so you need a pair of scissors or a stitch ripper, and your tailor will do that for you. Also, this is the biggest peeve in the world that I have. I see men get suits made, and they're stay stitching in the vents in the back, right back here. That stitch together like this. Well, they don't take the stay stitching out. They're out walking in public with the stay stitching still in the vent of the suit. I see it all the time. It's the most atrocious thing, and it really signals to me that that person has no idea what they're doing with their suiting, and their tailor is terrible and should have taken that out. And therefore, I know that that tailor is not a good tailor, because any good tailor is going to remove all that, open the pockets, make sure the whole suit is functioning the way it should be, and he's not going to let his client walk out with stay stitching in his pants, in his jacket, or any of labels on the sleeve. The only time I had an issue was one of the tailors didn't take the label off the sleeve, but everything else was taken out. So make sure you keep an eye out for those things. And you can always see the stay stitching because it's white and it's very obvious. So make sure that stuff's cut off and removed from your jacket before you wear it out in public, and make sure your pockets are working, if in fact you have working pockets. Now, it may seem that they're not working pockets, but any tailor is gonna know the difference and will be able to help you out with that. Get those pockets opened up for you so they're functional. Next, we're gonna talk about the 3 types of jackets. There's the suit jacket, the sport jacket, and the blazer. So, as you can see, a suit jacket has a matching pair of trousers and could have a waistcoat like I showed you in the gray suit that I had done myself. So, these jackets are gonna be much more formal. They're gonna have more formal accents, more conservatively styled. You're gonna have pinstripes, you're gonna have Glen checks, and you're going to have window panes. That's the patterning on the material itself. Those are the most conservative and basic styles of suit jackets. So moving into sport coats, well, sport coats were actually used for sporting. Horseback riding, hunting, out hiking, walking in the mountains, way back in the day. Those materials were much more rugged. They were much more coarse. They're not as fine as the materials on a suit jacket. They're going to have some texture to them, and they're going to have a flap pocket typically, or even a patch pocket where this pocket is sewn on the outside instead of the inside of the jacket. And they're going to have a much more sporty look, and they're just going to be heavier in weight. Also, sport coats are going to be a much more casual look. They're not going to have structure. They're not going to have a roped shoulder. They're not going to have a lot of the paneling inside that a suit jacket would. They're a much more casual, relaxed type of looking jacket. When we get into blazers, the blazers are very interesting because they started out as regatta jackets for sailing in England. And they have a lot of bold colors, they have big stripes, bold ornamentation, and that's the difference between the sport coat and the blazer. Usually the ornamentation on these jackets is over the top. They have very contrasting buttons on them. Think about some of the maybe fraternities that you've seen where they have the blazers on, they have the big, you know, fraternity crest or family crest, etc., and they big brass buttons and things like that. That's a blazer. And blazers have been modified over the years, but that's really where they started out. And traditional blazers are pretty much over the top. They're pretty wild looking, but they can be very elegant as well if done right. So those are the differences between a suit jacket, a blazer, and a sport jacket. So make sure when you're looking at all of these jackets, you know what you're looking at and you use the proper terminology. So how do we keep our shirts tucked in? Well, there's a couple ways, and I'm going to show you. These are my favorite. These are U.S. Marine Corps shirt stays. These are called stirrup stays. So this would hook on your foot, come up the side of your leg, and then these two clips clip on each side of your shirt, pulling your shirt down and keeping it tucked in for the entire evening. Now, there are several types of shirt stays. They're the stirrup, and they're the type that clip into the top of your socks, so your socks are being pulled up and your shirt's being pulled down as well. We have the grippers inside of our pants that we can have installed. If your tailor isn't currently doing that, you can ask to have those installed. Those work very well too, so make sure that you have one of those items, whether it's the shirt stays that clip to the socks, the shirt stays that are the stirrup where you put your foot through, like I just showed you, the Marine Corps ones, or you have the grippers inside your pant, especially if your shirt comes untucked. If you're very active in a suit, I'm very active in my suits. I like to move around a lot. I don't like to just stand in one place and do nothing or just sit all day. I'm a very active person, so shirt stays are very, very, very important for me, and they work amazing. Depending on the type of body you have, sometimes your shirt stays in much easier. I know mine don't. Mine want to poof out all the time, so shirt stays are a must for me, along with the rubberized shirt keeper inside the pants. Now, if you're wearing an undershirt, make sure it is not seen when the button's undone on this on the dress shirt. So if you have an undershirt, that neckline of the undershirt should not be visible at all. If so, button this button, cover it up, and keep it classy. The other thing is you can wear a synthetic wicking shirt underneath there that will wick moisture away from your body, keep you cooler while you are wearing your dress shirt. So that's something else that you can do. Okay, now we're gonna get into pant leg length. So we've got just a straight leg, which is typically cut off right above the ankle, shows the ankle a little bit. It's a little bit shorter look. It's more contemporary look. It's great for skinny guys, guys that are a little thinner, don't have a big frame build. And it's also great for shorter guys. So I kind of fit in the middle. I'm not a real big guy, but I'm not a skinny guy either. But I still get all of my suits cut, my pant leg cut at that length. And it looks great on me. And the cool thing about it is if you want to go sockless, which you never should, you want to wear no-show socks in your dress shoes. Shows the ankle bone, looks great. If you're wearing socks, the striped socks or fun socks or happy socks as my stylist calls them, it gives a little peep of color at the lower part of the body, which could be a nice contrast to maybe the tie you're wearing, your pocket square, etc. So a straight cut pant leg is really awesome, very contemporary. You see a lot of younger guys wearing it, and it's the way to go, in my opinion. Now we're gonna get into a medium break. So that's when the pant leg comes down and has a little bend at the front of your ankle. In the back of the pant leg just kisses the top of the back of the shoe, and it forms a little bend in the material. So that's a medium break. That's a more conservative look. If you're a bigger guy, have a little extra weight on you, have a more muscular leg or bigger ankles, you can kind of hide that and make it look great when you're in the suit. Again, your tailor's going to help you with this and the way he sees the image of you in the suit in your body. These guys are amazing at finding the right details for you. Now, if you go to a full break, this is the ultimate in conservative. It's very common, I find, in American business suits and American businessmen. You're going to have it droop down the back of the shoe a little bit. There's going to be a lot of bend in the material as it touches the top of the shoe in the front. It's going to be a little bit wider at the bottom of the leg. It's not going to be tapered in. So this is the ultimate in conservative pant leg length, and you'll see it a lot in American suit styling, not so much in European. European is a little bit more of that no break or straight leg. So if you're a big guy, or you're carrying extra weight, or you have just really big legs, this full break is going to be the one you want to go for. Again, your tailor will advise you what he feels looks best on you. And of course, you're going to be looking at yourself in the mirror at his suggestions. And between the two of you, you're going to be able to find out what works for you, looks awesome on you. Again, err on the side of elegance, classiness, and caution and conservativeness if you don't feel that you have the confidence to pull off some of these accents that are in contemporary suiting these days. You'll see a lot of younger guys do it. If you don't feel like you're a younger guy or have a younger guy's energy, again, go more conservative because you're going to look better.